Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, titled, At Thy Word I Will Lay Down the Net. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, titled, At Thy Word I Will Lay Down the Net. This is part 1 of 2.
Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Starting a new chapter. Right after the current events update. The Chinese government is at war with Christianity. How many of you knew that?
Yeah.
Well, it's getting really bad. It's a strange thing. And they try to cover it up. They don't announce a lot of this stuff publicly. But this is just an example of it. So as you see the trade wars and the trade deals and all that, pray about this because... We don't want to just enrich the Chinese government and leave believers in the situation they're in right now. This is a Christian headline news. It said, persecuted even after death, China has banned Christian funerals. Now, can you imagine if someone you love dies and the one thing about their death is if they know Jesus, it can be a celebration as well as a time of mourning. Mourn their loss temporarily, celebrating the fact they're in the presence of the Lord and having that just taken away from your family. Communist officials throughout China are using regulations that restrict religious freedom to also prohibit religious-themed funerals, even going so far as to arresting family members and stopping ceremonies mid-service.
Wow.
An elder of the government-sanctioned Three Self churches has even talked about how bad it is. He said the situation is quite adverse, and some believers don't even dare to accompany the deceased to the graveyard. And just, can you imagine? As Americans, I don't think we can. It's just hard for us to imagine that kind of thing. I mean... I did a funeral down in Covington, Kentucky one time, and they came in and raided the place. But it was for drug violations. They knew that when this person had died, that I think two of their kids and a couple of their other relatives would be at the funeral. I was like, you could have let me in on that, you know. And so while I was there, here cop cars come in, they're arresting people, taking them off. Funeral director comes up and says, we're going to get started a little late. And so that was just weird enough. But to imagine them coming in and just busting it up because you're having a Christian funeral and arresting family members because they're having a Christian funeral. In another village in the province of Henan, officials passed regulations that say ministers and other religious personnel should be stopped, quote, stopped from using religion to intervene in citizens' weddings and funerals or other activities in their lives. So you imagine Otis and Kathy coming to me and saying, I'd like to get married on February 14th. I say, sorry, Otis, you're going to have to go down to the Justice of the Peace and have a nice romantic wedding in the courthouse. And the funeral of a preacher is yet another location in Henan was stopped when policemen stormed the event and accused family members and friends of spreading, quote, religious propaganda. Well, guilty. They view it as propaganda. But that's just what you do as a Christian at a funeral. And how do you know what Wuhan means? That's where the coronavirus started, and it's quarantined. The center of the coronavirus outbreak. In Wuhan, the capital of the province of Hubei, the daughter of a woman who had just died was arrested while the family was arranging the funeral. Apparently, someone had reported the family to authorities. The daughter was released 2 days later, but only after the funeral had been held. So she wasn't even able to attend her own mother's funeral. The family was not allowed to include Christian customs and rituals in the ceremony. The woman had been a member of a state-sanctioned three-self church. She wasn't even underground. This is somebody who's going by all the rules, and they're still cracking down. All this is to remind you that we're not going to see the Chinese government converted and become a Christian nation or anything like that. China will lead Satan's army at Armageddon from the east. Revelation 16:12 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." And I say China will lead the way just by geopolitical realities. And then Romans 16:16, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So this is all setting the stage for what we're going to see in the book of Revelation. In the meantime, pray for the persecuted church and thank the Lord for this reprieve that we continue to have in this country. If you don't know your history, you don't know that before the passing of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, Christians were persecuted here in America. Places like Virginia, if you're a Baptist, they would whip you, imprison you. And that's one of the reasons why Christians like Patrick Henry and others demanded the Bill of Rights, because they wanted to assure we would never have a state church or a state religion that could control religion in this country. Freedom of religion. It's been just over 225 years, and it's on life support. And I'm just say this and move on. The next attack on your freedom of religion is going to be by the sodomites. And it'll be called hate crimes, hate speech, for simply preaching that it's a sin. And you're right, in some places, people are already suffering and all that. So with that, let's pray and get into our Bible study. Father, we thank you for all who are here this morning. Thank you because most of us who have been through this illness, bronchitis and flu and things going around, are recovering. We just thank you for your mercy. We pray for anyone who's not here because they're still ill. Of course, our hearts go out to Martha and Carl and others who are shut in. So thankful to be able to get up out of bed, come here this morning for such a wonderful time of fellowship and singing and prayer, and now this Bible study. We thank you, Lord, and ask you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Title this from the text, "At thy word I will let down the net." We're going to begin our study of Luke chapter 5 with this study. We've got four chapters all online. If you missed any of them, go back and watch them. Catch up. And catch up with us here in Luke 5, beginning verses 1 through 11. Read the odd number verses with me. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So there in verse 1, he makes reference... Luke makes reference to the fact that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And you may already know this, but it's good to remind people that there are interchangeable names in the Bible. It's the Sea of Galilee. So when you see, it's like when you see Mount Sinai and the Horeb and Sinai are interchangeable. There are different places. You do yourself a favor when you familiarize yourself with those place names and realize that they're interchangeable. And it's according to what time in history when you're reading about places as to what the name is. And I believe it's Hebron, and it was originally Luz, L-U-Z. And so when you read that, it just... helps you realize what you're reading, what you're thinking about. This is what it looks like on a map. And the Sea of Galilee is the small sea. It's what we would just call a lake. And that's why Luke says Lake of Gennesaret. But because it's a large body of water, it was also referred to as a sea. Kind of like Lake Erie. And Lake Michigan, and all the Great Lakes, they call them Great Lakes. Well, that's the definition of what you could also call a sea. A sea is a great lake. Now, just for your information, as I said, Sea of Galilee and Lake of Gennesaret are the same. It also goes by the name Lake Tiberias. And I would guess that Romans... we're probably more likely to call it Lake Tiberias. Sea of Kinneret or Kinnereth is another reference to the same place. And if you were further east and you ask about the Sea of Galilee, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, but they might say, you mean the Sea of Gennesar? And then if you were Arabic, you would call it the Sea of Minya. And I can't remember all the names, but, you know, our rivers and lakes and streams and things, before the year 1492, they would have been called something different. And this wasn't the state of Ohio. And even before it became a state, it was part of the Northwest Territory. You know, so if you were to be transported in time back to about 1650 and said you're going to Ohio, they say, "What? Where's that at?" And that's great to understand. Even it'll save you a lot of time and money whenever you ever see anybody say, "Oh, we found where the Garden of Eden is located." And Jenny and I watched a little clip with Ken Ham this week where he was explaining it's not possible. It's not possible. Because if you read the description, it does name Euphrates as one of the rivers, and the Hiddekel, and Pishon, and there's a, and what's the fourth one? It's good. What is it? Gihon. But those rivers don't exist anymore because of the flood. The flood wiped down all that terrain and all that geography. And then after the flood, they went and renamed a river Euphrates and renamed another one Tigris. After, you know, these names predate the flood, they believe. Obviously, we know they do in the scripture. And it's the same thing that happened over here. When they came to America from England and places like Holland, you know, is New Amsterdam. Became New York, where there's an old York. And so the same sort of thing happens. So just keep that in mind and put forth, here's what I tell Christians, put forth the effort that people do to learn their video games, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek. They learn all these names, all these places, and I have no problem. And then they come to the Bible and are like, "I can't learn the Bible." I mean, I've told this before, but some of you may not heard me say that one of the most laughable things is when I'm talking to somebody who's learned computer languages. Tell me that the King James Bible is too difficult to understand. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." You know what the problem is? Your want to. So how bad do you want it? So verses 2 and 3, then we pick up where the people are pressing upon him to hear the word of God. Boy, that would be a great problem to have. Verse 2 then says, "And saw two ships." The Lord is who they're talking about. "Saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now, it's pointed out by a kind of an obvious thing, if you think about it, is that if everyone's quiet and the sea is quiet, which the Sea of Galilee is like a big lake, it's going to be quiet unless there's a storm or something going on. Or if there's jet skis and things like that out there. Jesus didn't have to worry about jet skis in his day. So you probably got a nice, calm Sea of Galilee or Gennesaret. And he pushes out on a boat, which would mean when he talked that his voice would come off of the water. Now, when we were kids, we used to go to Shawnee State Forest down in southern Ohio. There's Lake Roosevelt. And there was a new one and an old one. So we just always refer to the new and the old lake. And you go on either one of them, but on the old lake, there was an area where you could just go across the bridge and then over, and you'd be on the other side of the lake at a point where it wasn't very far away. And when it was early in the morning and there wasn't a lot of background noise and everything, we would be amazed at how quiet we could talk and hear each other. Because our voices just travel right across the water. And we'd see how quiet we could get near each other, that sort of thing.
At the right angle, the sound waves actually amplify.
Yeah. And that's the effect we're looking at here. Now, people say, "Well, Jesus wouldn't need that. He's God. He could, you know." Well, I think in cases like this, he was God, but he was also a man. And when it wasn't necessary, I'm sure he just used the situation he was in and used that water to bounce his voice off to the multitudes all around as he would teach them. And this also conjures up one of my favorite images. I referred to this a few weeks ago, but just think about being in the crowd when Jesus is teaching and it's dusk. The sun's setting. I think I got a picture here. This is actually the Sea of Galilee at dusk.
Wow.
And you just picture being in the crowd and Jesus off in a boat and he's out there speaking. And you're hearing the Word of God from God manifest in the flesh. What a thing. As pastors and teachers who are Bible believers, we have the privilege of teaching the words of God. And that is a profound thing. And to think of these people sitting here listening to God Himself teach His Word. Just an amazing thing that I hope and really expect that during the kingdom age, Jesus is going to do the same thing. He'll get out on a little boat and teach those who gather to hear. He's got 1,000 years. And so I think he's going to spend a good amount of that time teaching.
Amen.
It's exciting. Something to look forward to. Amen?
Amen.
Then verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, it doesn't tell us exactly what he taught right there in the text. And it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, that word is a battlefield for a lot of Christians over the years. And I looked it up and it's pronounced draft or draught. Draft is the American pronunciation. Draft is the British. People get it mixed up, and I got it mixed up, because if you look at the word drought, it's spelled with an O instead of an A, and it's drought and not draft. But that's English for you. Yes. And it's in this text, it's a large catch of fish. So when it says, let down your nets for a draught or draft, I think it's actually right there in the text, obvious, but you have to be careful because it can also refer to the sewer. Me, you know, I just have to apologize for this, the world being English. It's just an amazingly difficult language. It's one I'm glad I didn't have to learn. I just was born here and just it came to us.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Because those people, Jenny, for those who don't know, she's a teacher of English as a second language. She should never run out of clients. And a lot of the clients, she could potentially find a lot of clients right here in the United States of America. Because a lot of Americans use English as a second language. But this word draught or draft can also refer to a sewer, as in Matthew 15:17. Jesus is talking again. He says, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? That's basically a toilet, a sewer system. And it reminds us of, I think it's humorous anyway, a Bible history fact. Remember when Jehu wiped out the Baalites? If you don't remember that, it's in the Old Testament. It's a good book. You really ought to read it. And back in 2 Kings 10:27, Jehu says, and they break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal and made it a dropped house unto this day. Now, what's also funny is beer drinkers might get a little confused and think that they turned it into a bar. Because if you go to bars, especially if it's snooty imported beer, they'll call it draught with the draught. Now, if it's just old plain old Milwaukee's Best or what, something that they'll call it draft, D-R-A-F-T, the English or the American spelling of it. Yeah, Doug.
Speaking of beer here, about if I order a Corona, do I get the disease?
Yes. Yeah. There are memes out there expressing that fear of coronavirus coming from drinking the beer. You have nothing to fear but beer itself. That's one of the memes. So you notice the fact, though, as far as in your Bible, the definitions are right there in your Bible.
Yeah.
All you have to do is think about it. Jesus said you eat, it goes in the belly, and out into the draught. Kind of obvious what he's describing there. And then the fish, back to the text, let down your nets for a draught. So then verse 5 says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So this depicts a great example of prayer. Simon is talking to the Lord Jesus. What are you doing when you pray? You're talking to the Lord. That's why when you pray, don't do this. Oh Lord, we do thank thee for thy bounty and pray thy blessing. It sounds like you're, announcing someone's entering the room or something. I've been in churches, I've been around people who do pray like that, kind of out of habit. And if they're sincere, I'm not saying God doesn't hear a prayer praying like that, but it's not necessary. You should show respect. Some of the way people pray gets a little disrespectful. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I've heard people pray online and other places, thankfully not here. Yo, Lord, my homeboy. That was a few years ago. I don't think people talk like this anymore. But, 80s. This was 90s. This wasn't that far back. And, ending your prayer like, yo, Lord, word up. That's 80s. But, word to you. No, I won't say that's Catholics. The Catholics would say word to your mother. But, don't get me laughing. I'll start coughing.
We pray to the man upstairs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not the man upstairs. Now, be patient with people who lived a rough life and just got saved. Don't be snooty about it. But just try to tactfully encourage people to, on one hand, don't talk to God like he's a gangbanger. On the other hand, don't talk to him like he's far away and must hear Elizabeth in English when you pray. Look what Simon is talking to the Lord. He says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You don't think the Lord knew that? And Simon knew he knew it. I believe Simon knew he knew it. But that's when you pray. Yes, sometimes we tell the Lord things that he already knows. Sometimes? All the time. So get over that hang up. Don't worry about it. I've had people really labor and say, I have trouble praying because everything, I know he knows everything. And, he wants to hear you pray. He loves talking to his children. And if we were only as zealous as Ezra. Yesterday, we stopped by the house. Charlie pokes his head in. Ezra's happy. And then he sees Dad. And when Dad walks away and doesn't pick him up, nah! Ezra wanted to talk to his father.
Amen.
And he's got some lungs. Ezra, that is.